Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
When I was younger, I waited tables like every actor, and Christian and I both actually worked at the same coffee shop, and I kind of fantasize about going back to those days, and I've played with the idea of being an Uber driver. There's certain jobs that I'm like,
please be an Uber driver.
Oh, I think I'm going to. 10 years ago, maybe, I was in New York with some friends, and we had one of those dinners that had just kind of petered out, and I had sort of lost interest, and I was maybe affected by certain things that I put in my body. I went over to another table because I had always fantasized about this, and I just bust it. I just started clearing their plates, and I took them to the kitchen, and the people at the table that I cleared had zero idea that I didn't work there. By the end, the people in the kitchen were no longer laughing. They were like, you have another table to clear. Like, hurry up and bust that other table. And I was fully just working there. So
you should have done like a dramatic quitting. You should have like dropped a tray of plates and be like, that's it. I can't do this anymore. I quit.
I'm like stormed out.
Thrown my apron down.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. You're listening to Life is Short. I am your busboy, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
And speaking of boys, with me as always is my brother Christian, who was not there that night.
Nor was he ever a busboy per se.
Oh.
But I did work at the coffee shop.
Well, so you were a boy.
I was a boy, and I bussed tables, actually. So no, I guess I was a busboy.
Yeah.
I was a barback.
Oh, yeah. That's
I don't know what I'm talking about. Of course I was a busboy.
Isn't a barback a busboy for a bar?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Tough. I was a busboy.
If Bar were a busboy for a bar.
Your eyebrow just spazzed up because you couldn't say that. I want everyone to know that.
I like that you always point that out. Oh, you know what? I was also talking about my cool guy face recently, and I thought about you.
We'll get to that.
Oh, we talk about it in this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, boy.
I was not there that night, but I've heard...
I've
heard lore.
Yeah, and it always, like, I just telling it just now, like, it's not a story, like, I feel like I'm bragging about it, but I haven't talked about
it. Like, you're just, like, a regular
guy.
I know.
It's a little douchey thing to, like, but it relates, and we'll get to why it relates to our guest today, but I don't often tell. It's not really much of a story. It was just, like, a fun thing for me to have done.
I would imagine that people hearing that story would think of it as, oh, he just thought it was a novelty.
Exactly.
To do that. But I'm here to tell you guys that, even though I wasn't there, I know you well enough to know that you genuinely enjoyed doing it. Ugh. And got into it and liked the interaction with the customers. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do some like silly thing mm-hmm. to get attention or something. I really believe that you would maybe want to be an Uber driver now.
100%.
Because it would be fun to meet new people and
hear stories. Everything about it strikes me as fun. Like you're getting also just getting paid for your time driving around. I like to drive around. I like meeting strangers.
I also think it's fair to say you were pretty unqualified at that point in your life to be a busser, which is why you got in trouble by the end of the night.
It went from being like a fun lark for everybody to like, this guy's committed to this to the point where like, okay, now he's working here
right.
and he kind of sucks.
Do you know who else is unqualified? Our guest today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's so unqualified that she has a show. It's coming back. Fortunately for fans of it like myself, called Unqualified. It's one of the first podcasts I was introduced to and hosted by my very, very dear friend, Anna Faris. And Anna, I remember her telling me she was doing this show, and it was one of the first times I even heard that term podcast. Podcast? What is a podcast? I'm trying to remember what I thought at the time of it. It was a fun excuse to like, hang out with Anna, who's my friend who I don't get to see enough, and talking to my friend for however long. That sounds great. And I was so taken by it that here we are.
Did you meet her doing waiting?
No.
Or did you know her before that?
What am I talking about? I met her the night we both landed. We were the first two actors in that movie, or among the first few who landed in New Orleans. We got there a day early. And so I met her in New Orleans. And my first night with her, we went out and just crawled around the bars of Bourbon Street. We just explored Bourbon Street. I don't think neither of us had been there. And so that was my introduction to Anna. And it's always kind of, and it's appropriate. I mean, we still have so much fun together. But that's how I was introduced to her, on Bourbon Street, going out, drinking, hanging out, just the two of us, strangers, like immediately hit it off.
You worked with her on Mom, the show that she mm-hmm. is, the very, very popular show mm-hmm. that she is the star of currently.
Mm-hmm.
You did an episode of it a number of years ago.
And then I just went back to where they shot that. It's one of my favorite lots. It's on Warner Brothers, right next to The Big Bang Theory. And when I went back, I went back there to do actually Anna's podcast. So a couple of weeks ago, a couple of days before she did ours. And it's such a fun environment. It's what I always imagined Hollywood was like, you know, with
it's like old Hollywood.
Yeah, the back lots and, you know, people riding around on little carts and all these characters, people dressed up like these adults smoking, but dressed up as like, you know, children's characters.
That's dark.
Yeah, I know. But like, or like, you know, roaming gladiators and there's an alien and they were shooting because they were shooting Space Jam 2 next door.
Oh, my God.
And Anna really wanted to see Shaq. She's like, I heard LeBron is here.
Is LeBron the star of it? Like Michael Jordan?
I think so. Oh, wow. This might be a big scoop. I didn't sign anything.
Uh-huh.
Warner Brothers. So, but he was there and she's like, should we go? Let's go say hi. And she did. I was like, I feel uncomfortable. What would he say to, you know, he was in a room with all his people he knows and his like entourage and she went in there and she just walked right in and I couldn't bring myself to.
Really?
Yeah. I had to go too. I know.
He'd be great on the show.
He'd be great.
But she was great too. And do you want to get into it?
Yeah. And this one, as you'll hear, definitely is more in her. She kind of took control at some point of this and it does become, I don't want to blame it on her. I like it. I like the direction it goes in. But this one is definitely different than
if you have kids around.
Yeah
I would say
definitely
move
the kids into a panic room.
Yeah. And prepare yourself for mm-hmm. some, I would say, spicier material.
Yeah, hopefully in a fun way for you guys. Yeah. And if it's not fun, we apologize and listen again please if you didn't like this episode. They'll get queener, I promise. And if you do like a little bit more spice, a little more heat to your interviews, then you will definitely
a little sugar in your coffee.
You'll definitely like this. My spicier than usual interview with just weirdest, funniest, best Anna Faris.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do 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 shaboom.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
After I lost my virginity,
I
remember thinking my pee stream was totally different.
How?
I don't know why after losing your virginity, your urethra would suddenly have terrible aim.
That in a teenage brain, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but I remember thinking my mom's going to totally clock this. Were your parents really strict with that? With like,
yeah, they
because like, your cat
with peeing
your
on the seat.
Like, no. I mean, yeah, no, virginity. No.
They were, yeah, Catholic. I grew up Catholic.
Did you? They want you to wait till you got married?
Yeah, but you know what? They never were explicit about it. They weren't like. Now, sex is for marriage, so don't. We didn't talk a lot about sex. They made it very taboo, I would say. So, and we would all kind of tease each other about girls and stuff. I remember once being in the car with my dad was driving my older brother and I was in the back seat, and he was like halfway through the talk about the birds and bees before I realized that's what it was. I just remember him saying,
what did he say?
He was very kind of like clinical about it. My dad's a philosophy professor, so he was a real academic.
So he was like, when a man enters a woman's butt, like what?
Butt? When a man enters a woman's butt? No,
I love the idea that it started out with anal.
Yeah. He went right to, he got to the chase. He's the best, but we're very different in that sense. I mean, it's, and I actually think my dad isn't prude or like puritanical about sex at all.
So, okay, so how does he reconcile himself? Like, just the idea of like philosophy and religion.
Well, he is a medieval philosophy professor. So that was all.
Oh,
yeah. It's all.
That's pretty fucking rad.
It's cool. But it was all.
Medieval philosophy. What is medieval philosophy?
It's theology. It's all like about. It's all religious based. It's all Christian based. Yeah. Like Aquinas.
So are we talking about like Martin Luther stuff?
Yeah. I mean, that's later. That's more like Lutheran. You know, Protestantism. This is like.
Does he believe that Catholicism was like a form of like political control or like.
In the sense that it, back then?
Yeah. In those medieval days.
Yes. He has a great amount of respect for it, for the church, but also understands that it is like a human system and humans are flawed. And he's quite. Pragmatic about it, but back then, yeah, of course, he recognizes how all the darkness of the Catholic Church.
And how do you feel now?
It's a complicated.
Are you getting up to the Golden Gates? What do you think?
I would love to. I don't know if I believe in that.
Yes, yeah.
It's hard for me, and especially because I grew up. I know my parents are probably even listening to this, and I know.
Hi,
means,
Jim.
Hey, guys.
What's your mom's name?
Wendy.
Hi, Jim and Wendy.
Yeah.
I adore your son.
Oh.
He's brilliant.
What are your parents' names?
Jack and Karen.
Oh, similar.
Yeah.
A little story about Jack. What are they like? What do they think of you?
So they're atheists, but they
I met
were,
them.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah, they're awesome. But yeah. But so I grew up with, you know, my brother's a fourth generation sociologist. I grew up in like within sort of the academia world.
Oh, wow,
as well,
that's
a little
right.
Bit. My thing was that my parents were atheists, but they really wanted me to be a virgin until I was married.
Whoa.
Why? I think my mom had a lot of like, she grew up pretty poor and beautiful. She had like, you know, these fucked up parents. And there were a few traumatic things that happened. And because my parents didn't have logic behind the idea of me being a virgin.
Yeah.
Not that I would have accepted it if it was religion based necessarily, but it did make me feel like it took me until I was, I don't know, like 36 to reconcile my guilt with sexuality.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like I, yeah.
Because it was so forbidden. It was so frowned upon.
It was like worse than drugs.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever ask them? Did you ever confront them about that? What is it about?
Drunkenly once.
Uh-huh.
And
how'd that go?
I just cried. Uh-huh. And they just like put me to bed and they were like petting my hair.
Oh.
But no.
When you were how old?
Oh, that was when I was doing Scary Movie 1.
Uh-huh.
What, 22?
The oh boy.
But no. I've never been promiscuous. But, which is actually a term that I fucking hate now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's so loaded. And
yeah,
and
it's so judgmental.
It is.
It's not applied to men, actually, now that it is. But,
no.
Are you a promiscuous boy?
No, but I still have shame. There's still remnants of shame and guilt attached to sex for me, even at, like, in my old age.
Yeah.
It's taken a much different form now. Like, when I was, yeah, I mean, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18, and... I remember,
did that feel old to you?
Were
most of your friends, had most of your friends last year?
They at least said they did.
Right.
And I remember talking about it like, oh, you know, with the guys in high school. And I remember being somewhat embarrassed that I couldn't fully participate and probably even lying at some point. Like, oh, yeah, I think I was more experienced than I was.
What was like, I want to hear a lie.
Oh, I wish. I remember the kids would talk about like masturbating, like jerking off. And I remember having shame about it. So I would say... I remember being in a group of kids, maybe eighth grade, ninth grade, right when it was like I was at the height of,
yeah.
You know.
That's all you do.
Oh, that's all I thought about.
Yeah.
Like a stiff breeze would blow by. And
God, I can't imagine what it's like. I can't imagine.
I was just talking about this last night. I asked a female friend of mine if women experienced this when they were teenagers. Because we were talking about how they hit their sexual peak. We hit our sexual peak much, way too early before we know what to do with it. I remember the feeling of having such intense. We will cut this all out. Such intense, like
I can't cut this out.
Well,
this
boner talk. Boner talk's good.
This is good. Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
People like boner talk. You indulge in boner talk on Unqualified.
Yeah.
Okay. Such boners that were so powerful,
right?
That they hurt almost. And you, Megan, I just saw Megan's face from behind the glass.
Yeah, but I can't, right? Yeah.
And you just had to release.
Yeah.
It's an awful thing. We're going to cut it out.
No, don't cut it
out. No, really? Like, would you leave this in? on your show?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, really?
Because I think it's important because I think that, like, as you're saying, that it's like this, you know, this thing is happening to your body and it's like, fuck, what?
There's my shame. Maybe that's my shame. Even as I say it, I'm thinking, right. I'm imagining right. my parents listening.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Jim and Wendy are going to be fine with this. They understood.
I hope. I mean, they did it at least three times.
Yes. No, I think that it's not quite the same. I think that once you kind of, for me at least, it was like once you kind of discover, because at least I didn't talk about sex with my friends, but I also wasn't having sex and I didn't have any friends.
That'd be tough. That would be a challenge. You didn't have friends in high school?
Not really.
I find that so hard to believe.
I know that's sweet of you to say. I had some, but I didn't know how to navigate, especially with women, like the female waters. I didn't know how to. I felt like I was too intense. I was too. I mean, that's kind of self-congratulatory.
No.
The way to describe yourself. I'm just so intense.
Yeah, I'm so passionate. Yeah. People couldn't handle my passion. But do you still feel that, you know, they say Hollywood, and I think it's true. Hollywood is just a version of high school and being, you know, being in this business is a version of just like a heightened kind of more public version of high school. Do you feel remnants of that high school, Anna, now?
I think I'm much more gregarious because...
Yeah.
People seem to, like, you know,
like
laugh at the stupid shit that I say just because I have really blonde hair or whatever. But I would describe it a little bit more like with fame and success, it sort of intensifies a part of your personality. It sharpens either something that is either really negative or positive. That's such a simplistic
way to put it. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, how
has
it sharpened in a positive way your personality?
I'm much happier. I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't angry. I was so mad
yeah.
that I was a girl. Oh, I was so mad.
So what, if you were in a clique, like a high school group, how would you describe the friends you did have?
I was like the C-minus, D-plus. I wish I was like in the F crowd. Like if you were grading. I was you know, in the drama club, and they called us the Bat Cavers.
What does that mean? Really, like you were in a...
Like a couple kids wore capes and like... There's one kid who had like vampire fangs.
Okay.
And, you know.
So like, they were... See, I like those people.
I do too.
Yeah.
But at that time...
couple capes.
That was like from 1991 to 1994. Mm-hmm. At that time, fame was not... something that you overtly saw, like
right.
You know what I mean. Like you would never tell somebody that you wanted to be famous.
Oh my God, how embarrassing that would be! Yeah,
right. It's hard for me to watch my face
you
doing faces.
That, yeah.
It's hard for me to listen to my voice.
I'm making my faces. Remember when you said that? Yeah.
That you told me that.
Oh,
didn't you tell me that?
Oh, I
swear
see. This is my
you
fucking memory.
You told me this story. And
I use it all
the time.
Oh, I always credit you with it. Okay,
that is so funny.
So when I did Mom,
was it not us?
It was,
it like Rob that told Rob McKittrick that told us this? Who told us?
Are you
us?
Talking about the time
yeah,
to make my
like,
faces?
Yep,
I made
just,
all my faces.
Just, yep, did all my faces.
Oh my God, Anna, I swear to God you told me.
But, I swear to God you told me
right,
this.
Well, here's the, for the listeners, here's the story. It's like when I did Anna's
Everyone's
show.
Everyone's going to love this story.
Oh my God. I was doing Mom. I was doing Anna's show. And this is the first season of the show. So it was 6 years ago, seven years ago. God, I'm having time.
I know.
Life is so short. Plug, self-plug. I was doing your show and it was a new thing for you to do a multi-camera show. And you were talking about the some of the challenges that you were facing with this new medium and a different style of acting. And I thought you had told me a story about it was an actor in the like 60s or 70s, one of those sitcom actors who it wasn't Don Knotts. No.
No.
Oh my God.
This is all wrong.
Oh, memory.
No. I swear.
Okay, what is it?
I swear at one point in our friendship, you told me that you were shooting something and like there was like some old dude, an older actor, I have no idea, I don't know, 80 in my memory. And you were like, hey, Sam, like, how was your day? And he said, did all my faces.
Oh my God! Okay, so the it's the same story, really.
It's just the same story. It's just warped.
Yeah, totally warped. God, I wonder who's right. Don't you wish?
Maybe
we had a time machine.
Who told us this story?
So, in my memory, in my mind, it's you who told me who said, and it was in the context of doing that, of being paranoid that you were just making faces. So to the listeners, if this is too insidery, the reason this is such a big fear is that as an actor, you need to inhabit another person. You become another person and hopefully a three-dimensional...
Shit, is that what we're supposed to do?
In theory. but it, that's the idea, is that like you're just this other person. So to say, to hide behind just making faces, it's sort of like a... It cheapens
what it is
you
do.
And it's kind of like not what you're supposed to do. But I, you know, but I can think of a lot of actors now who do that.
Yes.
Who just make faces.
Yeah. Oh, well, I a lot of them just make one face, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like jaw.
Yeah.
On your end, there's jaw. On my end, as a woman,
totally.
It's more like glances and glares.
Yes. I just realized what you meant by jaw. Clench. You're talking about the clenching, the jaw clench. Yeah. We've
jaw
all
clench.
Seen it.
Yeah.
It's
like a sweet ass mirror face.
Yes. Yeah. Like they've studied themselves.
Yeah. And I have a mirror face. Do you have a mirror face?
Oh God, I hope not. You know what? My brother accuses me. This is so embarrassing.
I think everybody has a mirror face. You can't just be like, ooh, like looking at yourself in the mirror without...
What's your mirror face?
It's like I totally like purse my lips.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and like I'll like...
Yes.
Like
I'm not going to mention...
It's embarrassing.
I'm not going to mention her name, but she's an ex-girlfriend, but now a very close friend. And
will you tell me later?
I'll tell you later. She listens to the show, so
I bet I can guess.
Yeah.
She listens to the show.
She might not be offended by this, and we can cut it out. But she has a face. She does this kind of thing, this kind of like sultry, and I'm pursing my lips. And
yeah, mine's along those lines.
Well, my brother and my friend, Kier, they accuse me of having, every once in a while they'll call me out. If a pretty girl is around, they'll accuse me of having like a cool guy face.
Oh,
it's so embarrassing.
It. Well, I will.
And it's something like this. It's like a Baldwin brother. It's like, you know, that like Michael Madsen, like kind of like I'm wounded or like I'm quizzical.
Like you've got like a lot of shit going on.
Like James Dean.
Like
it's so embarrassing.
Can't even really make eye contact with anybody because like.
Yeah, but Anna, I don't even realize I'm doing it.
I know. That's nobody
awful.
Does. Nobody does.
It's awful.
That's the worst part.
Do you think you've gotten better? And I've noticed you've been so good at redirecting and kind of focusing the conversation.
Oh.
Do you think you've gotten better or are you always good at that?
I don't love small talk in any way.
Yeah.
So, like, even interacting with, like, a stranger at the airport or whatever, I just want to be like...
I know.
Like,
I know.
Oh, so you're married? Wait, what's going on here? Like, I like...
You jump into it.
Yeah, which is not the best of qualities.
There were moments where that led to put you in
some
potentially
really fun
dangerous
times. Yeah. Yes.
Potentially dangerous. Yeah. Anna used to go, and when we were shooting this movie Waiting, which we'll talk a lot about. And if you haven't seen Waiting, I apologize. If you have seen it, I apologize. If you like it, you might enjoy this. But when we were doing Waiting in New Orleans, Anna would. This is where we got to know each other. Anna would just kind of like take off, and the next day, and she would end up at a pool party with some teenagers.
Yep.
That sounds inappropriate, but like not in
and
any.
And it was.
Well, but not in the way you think it does. It is.
Well,
I don't. Maybe I don't know.
No.
We'd be like Anna. Where? This is before we had cell phones, but it was like, where's Anna? And she'd call hours later, and she ended up. I just met these people at the supermarket, and she would just meet people.
I told you about Louie and Debbie, that Louie and Debbie night, right? The Fuck France?
Yes, but tell everyone.
Oh, it's a long journey, but I went for a...
this is a good example of that
so
behavior.
During that time, I was engaged.
Yes.
To my first husband, and I was really... I must have... I mean, hindsight's 20/20, memory sharpens itself, but I must have been not sure about the engagement and the impending marriage, clearly, because I viewed, like, waiting for me doing that movie felt like, this is like a study abroad.
Uh-huh.
I get to, like, just do whatever the fuck I want.
You seemed ready to spread your wings.
Yeah.
And there's no better place to do that than New Orleans.
Yeah. So I
like night one, I remember you were like, let's just trip the light fantastic.
Yeah.
We went to
and then we just kept it going.
We like
Cajun
went down Bourbon
Cabinet.
Street and just really did it. First night, I was like, this is going to be a long shoot. So Anna, myself, Caitlin Doubleday, and Rob Benedict, the four of us were kind of a little clique. But in that movie, there were so many actors our age and Ryan Reynolds and Dane Cook like, and all these.
At least for me. I was just having, like, I was fucked up.
Yeah.
I was exploring, like, my life. I was about to get married. And I think deep down inside, I knew that that probably was not, like, not the best call.
Totally, yeah.
I ended up calling my high school boyfriend. Did I ever tell you about that part?
I almost just did a real, that was almost a real spit take. As she was saying that, I was putting water in my mouth. That was almost, there's nothing better than a real spit take.
Oh, man.
And you didn't tell me that. On that job, you called your.
Yeah, probably one of the nights I stayed in.
You were not ready to get married. I mean, I don't know. Oh, I mean, obviously, you said it yourself.
I was.
But even at the time, I was like, and then he came to visit. And
God.
We all kind of, and it's weird to see somebody that you've connected with so well. I mean, we really fucking hit it off. And to see somebody that you really got along with not connecting with somebody they were committing their lives
to. I don't know how you perceived it, but I bet I was kind of scared or nervous or on edge.
You were around him. You behaved a bit differently, which was really heartbreaking to see because you're so great. You know, you're somebody that I really liked. And I was like, that sucks to put a, I see that with some friends, you know, when they're with somebody that kind of dampens them a little bit or puts like, it limits them.
Yeah.
You know? It's a shame.
It's true. It's true.
And you don't seem like that now, and I saw you with your current lover, and you seem, which is nice to see your lover. Even with, you know, the former lovers, I've seen you yourself.
Can I turn this back onto you?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you dating? What's happening?
No current lover. I have not taken a lover.
I don't know.
I'm taking. I'm taking time for me.
Come on.
Yeah, because I'm 41.
You are an anomaly because you're really handsome.
You're
super charming.
Boy.
But you do this thing. That's right. You do this thing where you take, because you're like the secret. You're like this underground player.
This is your thing with me. This is not true.
It is so true.
But you're saying underground that I, see, what that implies to me is that I get more women than I should.
No.
Which I agree with.
No. I do think that you respect and like women, like you do, in a different way than sleazy guys in Hollywood.
Thank you for saying that. I really try to.
You do.
And I do respect
you do.
Yeah.
You totally do.
Yes, listeners.
But, but here's that caveat.
Oh, boy.
I think it's disarming to a lot of women in Hollywood.
Okay.
And so when you dump them.
Is that why you asked me the other day how many of those relationships ended at doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty even.
I don't know.
Maybe skewed. Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They just weren't right too. I look back at those relationships and it's like it's good. Like, I'm glad somebody made a move because we weren't meant to be. You know,
you're completely right.
Life is short.
You're completely right.
Yeah,
but it's a quality I would never like. Oh God, this sounds patronizing.
No, that's
okay. I was
okay.
about to say that I would never want you to change about yourself, but that feels like I'm.
That's nice.
No, but I love you for this.
Yeah,
but I do think that. So many guys have an obvious slickness to them that you don't, because you are you're honest and you're straightforward.
I try to be,
and you're interested in people, and you like intimacy, you like relationships. I think, and then so then when you break up with somebody, they're like, "What?"
Well, I think also I go in way too fast, way too hard, and this is something that
it's because you're an intimate person, though, which is.
It's very difficult for me to be intimate with somebody that I'm not, and this sounds like bullshit, but that I'm not really connected to in a deeper way.
If you were to do another profession, what would it be?
I love to draw. I would probably do something in the drawing. I always wanted to be a cartoonist when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. I still do.
Really?
And every year, New Year's resolution, comes around.
Will you draw me something?
I like to draw faces.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And you know what's funny?
I like to draw alligators.
Alligators. I love old faces, and I love drawing old, like, overweight faces, I think.
All men?
Or do you usually, it's hard for me to draw women.
Huh.
Yeah.
What about the tits?
Oh, tits are bad. Great at drawing tits.
Draw me some tits.
Yeah, no, I'm actually not good at drawing tits.
Come
or
on.
Hands or tits. You call them tits? What do you call boobs?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All genitalia speak is tough.
Oh, it's tough. Wait, like,
it's tough.
How about?
Cock, dick. Sorry.
In different contexts.
Sorry, Jim and Wendy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Would you prefer dick or cock?
To reference my own?
Yeah.
I would
or
say,
if, like, somebody, if like you're with a lover.
I mean, it's whatever my lover would be comfortable with, I guess.
Are you into maybe this? All right.
I've never heard anything beyond. I've never heard like your willy. Oh, no, no. Your willy. That's a tough one. That'd be a tough one. So innocent.
Yeah, you're right. Willy.
It's a British thing.
Yeah. Well, which is amazing, though, about British culture, because they have such a strong, like, feminist, like, the whole ideology.
Matriarchal.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to demean you by calling your cock a willy.
You know, we were saying this. You might enjoy this question. Do you think the queen wipes her own ass? And historically, has the queen had somebody to do that for her?
Not only... does she not have to wipe her own ass?
Yeah.
Someone bleaches her ass.
Oh, you think the queen gets her ass all bleached?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Why? Why would she
There's
need a bleached
no
ass?
No way. she has to have like a perfectly pink little asshole.
Oh my God. I'm going to get kicked out of the UK.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, ooh, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
Did I ever tell you about how I got kicked out of New Zealand?
No.
I didn't get kicked
out.
Oh,
when you were doing Yogi Bear?
Yeah, it sounds so dramatic. I didn't get kicked out, but I did Yogi Bear there. And I was walking, and it was a long shoot. There were days.
It was like 6 months, right?
Yeah, and there were days. Most days, I only said, Yogi! So, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Very fulfilling. But I went to this concert, like the producer invited me to, oh God, I want to say it's like Queens of the
Stone Age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's not necessarily my jam, but I left early. I had to get to bed.
Sure, you need to yell yogi in the morning.
So
you got to do your faces.
I was walking back, and this should not be an important detail, but I feel like the societal pressure to make this a detail that I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt and a backpack. And this car drives by and they, like these dudes yell out, like, show us your tits, but in a New Zealand accent.
Show us your tits.
Yeah.
No, that's not
and good. And I was like, what? Oh, no. It felt a little random. And then another car drove by and said something like we want to fuck your pussy or something like
that. Oh, my God.
So it felt like, what is up with that? But I could handle it. Anyway, I recounted this story because it was only one I had on the George Lopez show, this very short-lived George Lopez show. And then I got a letter from the Minister of Tourism of New Zealand that I was no longer welcome in their country. So then it became a whole thing. I had to apologize. Well, a bunch of feminists, New Zealand feminists, stood up for me. They're like, yeah, you're right. Like, New Zealand dudes are dicks. And I'm like, I'm like, what? I don't even know.
They're willies, New Zealand.
Yeah, like, I have no perspective on this. And then.
Oh, my God.
Because it became public knowledge. And so then I wrote a letter to, like, the New Auckland Times or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And I'm saying, like, I am very, like, I apologize. You have an amazing country. Like, it was so silly.
Well, they felt like you had slandered the entire country?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But at the very end of that letter that I wrote to the paper and to the Minister of Tourism, I said, P.S., we have a lot of ding-dongs here in America as well.
You love that.
It was like
word more than I do. I thought ding-dong's a great word.
Well, yeah, P.S. feels gentle, but
yes, yeah, it says like, a lot. And there are degrees of ding-donginess.
Yeah, well, it feels like you're just a fucking ding-dong when you're a fucking ding-dong.
You should have said P.S. to whoever, to those ding-dongs who did yell at me, I will not show you my tits.
But that's the thing is that, I would have been willing. I mean, no.
Not, well, if they'd approached it maybe differently.
But it's not like that kind of thing hadn't happened to me. Well, like,
isn't that funny? If they just knew that, if they had slowed down, if they hadn't sped away, you would have been like, okay.
Everyone wants to see my tits.
Right.
All the time.
Not only New Zealand, America.
Oh, my God.
The world.
Everywhere I go. Newfoundland.
If they're not saying it explicitly, I can see it on their faces. They all want to see my tits.
Oh, who wouldn't?
They want to see my ding-dongs.
Right. No, anyway, so I had to make up. But I can go back.
Oh, they allow. Then you had a nice correspondence.
Yeah. Well, no, but a couple years ago I did a Air New Zealand safety flight video. So we're good.
It's water under the bridge. Have you ever done an Australian accent for I have, and they always say the same thing.
What?
Whenever I attempt my Australian accent.
That's good, I think.
I don't know. No.
You want from Becky?
What's a Becky?
Becky.
Bracky. Oh, Bracky. They say.
From Bracky.
Yeah, they say Bracky.
The only way I can do it is like this.
What are you saying?
I'm from Bracky. Oh, Duffin, so great to have you on foot now.
Oh, please tell me.
Thanks for being early.
That's perfect.
I'm from Bracky. Typical egg white omelette with the tuck of bacon.
Have you been to Australia?
Fuck yeah.
And there, so I have this thing where I want to do the accent back as I'm hearing it. I want to do something.
I can't do it. I'm not great.
You are such a rare performer. You're such an anomaly because you have a very expressive face.
So do you.
You're doing it now.
I know. I'm sure I was hamming it up a little bit.
Okay, well. Man, I didn't know. See, and I couldn't, I didn't know. I think if I saw a snippet of your work, I would think, whoa, you're hamming it up. But in the context of your performances, it's grounded. You still remain grounded. So I never see, it's a very rare combination.
I feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
That it's like that comedic, like that thing of like how earnest we are, but also the idea of, I don't know, the honesty, attempt of honesty, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Through like a comedic, it's almost like Gilda Radner or Goldie Hawn or Lucille Ball, these women, Kristen Wiig, these women who are, I would put you in that category. And the thing you all have in common is...
Fuck them all.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Okay.
Listen, we gotta spice it up.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Betty Davis.
You have Betty Davis eyes. That'd be a good song.
Well, thank you. I wrote it.
Oh, did you?
No, just I'm sorry. I don't mean to deflect.
It's hard for you to take compliments.
Yeah, but don't you think it's hard? For,
yeah, you were. I did it earlier in this PCast. You were paying me a compliment,
and you deflected.
I deflected.
You're like boo.
It's funny. The faces. I just want to say one more thing about that. About we were talking about it earlier. Jaw acting.
Yeah.
I remember when Ben, your ex husband, came to visit, and he. I don't think
my
he would,
first husband. I always like to do a.
Oh, that's
like
right.
Martini cigarette gesture.
Yeah, you've had two husbands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because I live in Hollywood, California.
And then getting the two confused. Was that my first or second husband?
I bore a child.
From my loins.
Yes, from the second one.
Jack. You bore Jack.
Can't quite remember his name.
He's since gone on to be quite a big deal. Mm. That must have been a ride. What is that? You go through that publicly. You told me about this a little bit. A public divorce.
Yeah. I wish I had profound thoughts on mm-hmm. it. I really do. I really do. Because if I did, I would tell you that it was incredibly difficult to go through it publicly. But I think it's just difficult any way you do it.
It must be difficult without that. Well, that's why I think about it. I mean, you know, I remember you saying something like this, where that's hard enough on its own. And then to have to, this other component where you're like, you're having to answer because people loved you together and you were like, people liked the idea of you being a couple. And I've been in these situations where it takes on a new life.
But here's the thing. I find because I didn't grow up with social media, mm-hmm. so I find my defenses get high as like a childish reaction. I try to not absorb. I just want to show you something.
Yeah.
I just want to show you new glasses.
She's reaching into her bag. She's pulling out clown shoes, a Bozo wig, and a cattle prod.
Here.
Oh, no.
Okay. I need you to read lines.
Oh.
No, just kidding. Oh. I finally found what I'm looking for.
Glasses. Groucho Mark. Oh, they're great. They're new. She just put on turtle shell glasses.
That was so unconvincing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, let me put them back on again.
No, you're showing me glasses. You're putting on your glasses. Why'd you give me this script?
Let me see that script. Well, I don't know. Give it back to me.
Do you...
I don't know.
it transforms your whole face. It's transformed your whole personality. You have a different... You're making different faces. You have a different personality.
So you, you're Justin Long.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And I'm sorry, what is your name again?
My name?
Yes.
I called you here for a meeting. I'm Karen Sarducci.
Oh, hi, Miss Sarducci, yes, of course.
What's that book over there?
This is,
do you bring that in to impress people?
No, it's actually a book that's holding up this microphone. It's purely functional.
So you don't really read.
I try to. I don't read as much as I'd like, Miss Sarducci.
No, of course.
And
you are an actor.
It's slightly offensive. And I'm sorry. I know you called me in for this meeting, and I'm blanking on why now. It is an honor to be in your company, but was there something specific you wanted to talk to me about?
I'm just so bored. Oh. I'm bored with life.
Oh, no.
Mr. Long, I...
And you think I could somehow aid in your...
I'm tired of this town. Uh-huh. I'm tired
of L.A.
Of Los Angeles. I'm tired of feeling paranoid.
What are you paranoid of, Ms. Sarducci?
Everyone reading my emails.
Well, what are
my ex, like, taking all the children. Like,
oh, no, I'm sorry. How many kids do you have?
Like, the gardener stealing my bonsai.
Oh, no.
Like, you're everything.
Jeez, I don't, look, we're just now meeting, so I don't know how much of this I can help you with.
I don't know, Mr. Long, I don't know.
I would suggest you get cameras for mm-hmm. your bonsai situation. You can get security cameras.
I have cameras.
Oh. Oh, so
I have cameras, but people can wear masks.
Oh, so masked gardeners? How do you know they're the gardeners?
Oh, they might not be. They most certainly are not the gardeners.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you just said.
No, it's probably like Amazon people or something. Like.
Amazon delivery people or Amazonians?
No, or it could be, I don't know, the neighbors. Everyone's been commenting on my bonsai.
Oh, and they're jealous. Jealous neighbors. Mm-hmm. Well, Ms. Sarducci, as much as I'm as happy as I am to be here, I don't know what
Who are these creepy owls?
Ms. Sarducci, just for the listeners, is pointing out...
Everyone is spying on me.
Well, no, these owls are just the Wondery... These are the one. This
looks
is the Wondery...
friendly.
Yes, well, they're all, I think, the same, actually.
Sorry, I'm being such an asshole.
No, I love... This is what we did the other day on your show.
I know, I'm such an asshole, though.
Wait, are you going to do that every episode? Do out of nowhere improv?
I do. I do.
I like it.
Wait, can I
tell
you...
I don't know
if
the listeners...
Can I tell you... Mm-hmm. Before I leave.
Oh, no.
Okay, wait. Here are my...
we have a few more.
I do four characters
mm-hmm.
on my podcast.
So this is Karen
Sarducci. I do Autumn from WC.
W's.
The woman. Like, this is a red carpet woman.
Oh, okay. Who are you wearing? Like, yeah. Not listening, really
yeah.
phony.
Yeah.
Oh, can I hear her a little bit?
She has a better, Adam McKayla, like Adam Smith McKayla. Uh-huh. Autumn Smith
McKayla. Hyphenated, a lot of hyphenated. Uh-huh.
I do.
Can I hear her a little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, hang on. Though. Okay. I also do Kayla, which I feel like I've done with you before.
Maybe.
Kayla is kind, she's sort of, they're all awful.
Okay, so Kayla's a Southern lady.
No. Kayla's not Southern. Oh, no, oh. She's up in Vancouver.
Oh, what does she do there?
Oh, she just stalks celebrities up at the Girard Room at the Sutton Place Hotel.
I'd like to hear Kayla, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so setting is.
Okay.
We are at, we're at the Sutton Place Hotel.
Uh-huh.
In the Girard Room.
Have I been working all day?
You've been working all day.
Okay, gotcha.
So you went back to your room, took a quick shower, and then you're like, oh, I just gotta like go grab a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. What's up?
Oh my God. Wait a minute. You are. Oh my God. You're the actor. You're just Justin Long,
hey,
right?
Yeah. How's it going? What's
your
name?
Oh my God. I'm Kayla.
Hey, Kayla.
It's really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh my God. What are you doing up here?
I'm filming something. I'm shooting something
nearby. What are you shooting?
It's a reboot of Jaws, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
So it's like Jaws 2?
Well, it would be Jaws 5. They don't know whether they're going to call it Jaws 5 or...
Because I read that one thing that's like Jaws, A Long Walk to the Bridge or something that was shooting up here. I don't know if that's...
That's what it is.
A Long Walk to the Bridge.
Well, I didn't know that. That must be what they're calling it. Yeah, that's. I think it's got several working titles.
I have an ex-boyfriend who's like... Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
You have an ex-boyfriend who was?
No. It's nothing. But oh my God!
Oh, now
so
I'm so curious.
Crazy.
Is your ex-boyfriend?
What is it like to be an actor, literally working in Hollywood?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, this is a particularly fun job because it's also, you know, it's been a long day. I was in the water all day, so it's always.
Ooh.
But even that is fun to me. Yeah.
That's cool.
And, like, my prune
that's
hands.
That's so cool that you have, like, such a positive attitude. Like, oh. I love that. Like, some people would be like, oh, it was so cold or whatever.
And, it was cold, but, you know, I feel lucky to get to do it. You seem positive, too.
Oh, Kayla. First of all, you have to know. First of all, the one thing you have to know about me is that I am a Cancer sign. And so that means I am super positive.
I don't know much about the different signs that...
No, Cancer, they know it sounds negative, but it's actually super positive.
Okay. You're a Cancer, which means what, summer? You were born in August? Or?
Yeah.
And I'm a Gemini. What does that mean?
Oh, that means you're kind of like devilish.
Oh.
But you do also have a fun side.
Oh, it's funny. You even put a positive spin on devilish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all going someplace at some point.
Oh, God.
I mean... Right.
That's dark.
I mean, what do you people do, Kim? Always tell me that I'm like, I'm super intuitive.
Uh-huh.
So I'm into it.
Oh, okay. Does that have to do with the sign of the Cancer sign as well? Or no?
Kind of, yeah. But no, but people always are.
People
like,
say
oh
that to
God.
You?
Yeah, they say that to me.
Well,
all the time.
It must mean that maybe you are, because you must have said something intuitive about
them. I really like you. You are interesting.
Oh. Thank you.
You're interesting. Sometimes when I talk to actors up here, like at the bar, like they're like, oh, I don't want to hang out. But
do you hang out here often?
Really interesting.
Well, sorry, Kayla. If you don't mind me saying, what are you doing here? Are you staying here at the hotel, the Sutton?
No.
What do you, you're just here for a drink?
Yeah.
Again, this might sound weird, but did you come by yourself? You just came to the bar. That's cool.
Hmm.
And what do you do? You do a bunch of things?
No.
I
follow my passion.
Okay, that's good. That's great. What is that? What's your passion?
I think it's pretty obvious.
It's not... I'm sorry if it is obvious. I can't quite see it. Are you?
I knew you weren't that good.
You intuited that? Are you please don't take this the wrong way. This is going to sound really, if it's not true, it's going to sound wildly inappropriate. Are you do you work in the, are you an escort of some kind? Are you an escort?
I will escort you to your room if that's what you need.
No, I don't mean like a security situation, but like more of a in a romantic capacity. I don't know how to say this. I've been in this position where but you're sort of forcing me. Are you intuiting anything about me right now and the lack of information I have about you?
You know what I'm intuiting?
What?
That you're kind of a shitty actor.
Oh, well, that's not fair. I'm having a hard time understanding. You're not communicating what you do or why you're
well,
here.
Well, I thought that I was. I thought that I made my communication very clear from day one.
Unfortunately, you didn't. I really don't. I need more words. I need more information.
Words.
Yes.
You need
words. Yes. What do you do, Kayla?
Well, first of all, okay, I will tell you. Look, you know, I am an entrepreneur.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
What is it that you...
Okay. I'm starting my own makeup line.
Okay. I don't know why you didn't say that 30 seconds ago.
I have three stunt people and I'm starting a union.
What do you mean you have three stunt people?
I'm starting a union.
How'd you get the stunt? What are they for?
What do you mean?
Why do you just...
Don't question me.
I'm trying to get to know you. You're the one that approached
you
me.
You are trying... Okay, fine. Okay.
Why do you have three stunt people, Kayla?
Because we're trying to start a union.
But how did you come to acquire three stunt people?
It's a different union from the other stunt union people.
Kayla, I'm going to ask you again. Are you an escort? Are you in the sex business?
No!
This is driving me nuts.
No, I'm not. It's just...
You understand why I'm asking that?
No.
Well, you're being very cryptic and coy for no reason.
Maybe I like chicken wings at the Girard Room.
Okay. So you just came here to get some chicken wings.
Yeah.
And maybe have a nice conversation.
Oh, my God. I always thought...
I don't mean to be hostile.
You had a reputation as being like a nice guy.
Oh, so you knew...
It turns out you're kind of a dick. Or a taint.
Hey, call back. Full circle.
Thank you for playing with me.
Ghana, I don't know if any...
I'm sorry.
I don't know what...
Did I fuck you up?
No.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
How do you feel about life now? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel content?
No.
Oh.
No. What kind of artist would be? Not because I'm an artist. Right?
You fell into a compliment.
Fuck you.
You are an artist. You are.
But you
don't feel fulfilled doing that. Is the podcast fulfilling in a different way?
Yes, of course.
And what is that way? How would you describe that?
Controlling of narrative, but I don't think that, would you ever feel fulfilled? Would you ever come to a place in your life where you're like, yes,
I gotta tell
fulfilled.
You, there are days, and today is one, where I feel truly at peace and fulfilled. Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, doing the simplest things.
Really?
I took an Uber here, and I just was looking out the window, and I was seeing people, and I was thinking to myself, I won't get to do this for the, you know, that long. I won't get to do this.
So
will come to an end.
Your fulfillment was coming out of like appreciation of,
yeah, that feels
of
fulfilling.
Like the ending of,
I guess,
something.
So it's soaking up the sky and the beauty of life, or the surroundings. I feel genuinely lucky and fulfilled. Yeah, and sometimes it strikes me to the point where I become overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. You remember that scene in American Beauty where Wes Bentley's looking at the bag and he's, yeah, like, life is so beautiful. And it's like a cheesy, and now it's cheesy. But I bet when you first saw
it. At the time, God, it was glorious.
Profound, right?
Yeah.
I still think it's profound, and I catch myself having moments like that. Sometimes literally watching bags fly around, I think it is fucking beautiful. And we're lucky. Work-wise, fulfilled, that has changed for me since we did Waiting, which was so long ago. That back then it was, if I could get a good movie, work with a good director, good actors, and you know. But I don't chase those things anymore. I don't. It'd be nice. Do you feel unfulfilled in that?
I don't know why. What you were just talking about, what reminded me of, when I was 17, I went to Cabo with my parents and my parents' friends,
uh-huh,
and this beautiful Mexican waiter, like we had this, like, kind of, I don't know, we had this little electric chemistry, and he came to our hotel the next day, and he gave me this silver ring and a rose, and it was I don't know why, whatever you just said that, like, spoke that, like, I don't know.
I gotta tell you, like, for the listeners, dear listeners, your whole energy just totally shifted, and you got this faraway look in your eyes, and your whole body is like getting wrapped up in this memory, and it feels like it was maybe a moment of real true fulfillment.
Oh, he's so handsome.
That's your bag floating around.
And yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. think that's what it was.
I have
that
those.
It was like, that it was like, I didn't know how, like, we couldn't really communicate, but we had this thing that felt glorious to me in that moment.
Isn't that not funny? But interesting to me that you now have an understanding, like a heightened appreciation for what that was. At the time, it was probably really cool and whatever it was. And I think, now I'm thinking back to the time in New Orleans and waiting and the experience of that. Just the how many of those we had, and how I wish I had the understanding and the appreciation that I do now for life and for living, you know. I wish because I look back at those times and, God damn it, I am so grateful for those memories, you know.
And I'm grateful for you. I hate
likewise.
Using that term.
No, I know.
But I am. Like, to have a
Likewise.
Friend
yeah.
that we've known each other for this long.
Yeah, and to be able to see after, so there have been years, I think years have gone by where I haven't seen you, and it's like it was yesterday.
It's so true.
Yeah. We're
kismet.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, everybody.
You gotta go.
Thanks for listening to Justin Long.
You don't know the name of the show.
I don't know.
What would you call the show?
A ding dong, a ding dong, a rippity ding dong.
Oh, I prefer that to Life is Short.
Oh.
These are so fast. What is your most commonly used emoji?
I don't ever use them.
Never?
No. I feel like.
What?
Yeah, I do.
Jeez,
I feel
like our
it's
third
insincere.
Guest who doesn't. I gotta get rid of that question.
Don't you think?
Insincere?
Yeah, it feels insincere to me. I don't like
no.
it.
What
it feels
like
passive aggressive, and I can't explain why. I know that everyone uses them, but it feels passive aggressive to me.
Well, it depends on how you're using it.
I don't.
Oh my God, I got to remember this. But
yeah.
What if you say, I've always wanted to go to Argentina, and then just put the Argentinian flag up there?
Who am I saying that to?
I don't know. Karen Sarducci. I don't know.
No.
Okay. No emojis ever?
Nope. My assistant uses emojis, apparently.
Okay.
Use the heart.
The heart.
Heart.
So you're okay with the heart? You don't like emojis. Okay.
I don't like emojis.
You know what's interesting? Oh, wait. This is something really quick. The emojis, because they are cheap,
Have to use, you don't have investment.
You don't have to use words. And you have such an expressive face that you probably think, oh, they can't. There's no way they can capture the way a face can. And I was going to say this earlier. You are also one of the few friends I have who will call on the phone. That's become a lost thing. No more calling.
I can't not.
Yeah.
I can't not. But that means that's like once every 5 months.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. I'll take it. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play and why?
Oh. It's a tough one.
Do you watch sports? Yes.
Yeah, but I want a singular. Maybe it goes back to, I don't know. I would like to.
Soccer?
No, because I don't want to be part of a team.
Oh.
I want to be solid.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with sailing sports.
Okay, Well, you brought up the second time you brought up sailing.
Yeah.
Did you sail? You grew up in Washington State. Did you sail there?
Yes, I did. No, okay. I didn't. Well, I did a little bit.
Okay. There's so many things. It's too short. Life is too short. If you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be? You're stoned. Let's say you're stoned, for argument's sake.
What would your answer be to this?
I love pizza goldfish. I could eat bags of them. Pepperidge Farm Chessmen.
Are you being sponsored by pizza?
No, I wish. Oh, I would wish.
Who makes them? Let's get you. Let's
Pepperidge
get
Farm.
You. Pepperidge?
Pepperidge, you listening?
Hey,
I don't
Pepperidge.
Think they need it. Here's my brother and I have this thing where this would be the best commercial. Just if I do say so myself, give me or somebody who likes goldfish as much as I do a bag of goldfish and just put the camera on and watch a person enjoy it. Watch, in this case, me enjoy it. Sounds very arrogant.
Is it like a childhood, like?
They're just so satisfying to me. They tick so many boxes of taste. Like, they're just so satisfying. I don't know. I love Doritos.
I love Doritos.
But do you get really snacky when you know?
I don't smoke weed.
You don't?
No, I get too paranoid.
Oh, right.
I drink.
Because I know you will just French exit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't, anyway.
By the way, we talked about a lot of things that I wish we could talk about again, but we talked about them on your podcast, so I want to just tell everyone to listen to that.
Thank you. You're giving me a shout out?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it these days?
Shout out. It's podcasting term, guys. From one of the OGs. What's the new show called?
Airs on CBS.
Right. Everyone knows that.
I know. No, still unqualified.
Still unqualified? Okay, good. Unqualified. Your favorite movie of all time?
I really love About a Boy.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. I love that soundtrack.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with three, I love you too.
What?
Three people, dead or alive.
No.
Whom you've never met.
Never mind.
Who's your favorite Muppet?
Animal?
Great. I can see that. I've seen the animal come out and it's really fun. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? This was misleading when I said these are quick.
I know.
I'm sorry.
They are.
And you're very introspective. Yeah.
Because normally I would say flying, but is there a world where I could also become some kind of human submarine?
Sure.
Where I could dive like
Aquaman. Aquawoman.
Shit.
Aqua lady.
I guess they already did it.
Aqua gal.
So we don't have imagination.
You can do anything.
I ask this, all the time. What is greater, our imagination as humans or reality?
Definitely our imagination.
Oh, my God.
Definitely.
Nope. Fuck no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean greater? What do you mean greater?
Maybe that's what I'm getting hung up on. Because the best we can come up with is like unicorn, a horse with a horn. Or like,
speak for yourself.
Or like octopus. Like all these things have already been developed.
That's true. There's some crazy shit that
exists.
That's true.
Like, our lack of imagination is what limits us.
That's a really good point.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. That is a really good point. It's true. I mean, if we had never seen animals,
right?
Imagining some of those animals, I wouldn't never be able to.
Right,
amoebas.
Like, all of our artistic inspiration comes from things that we've already seen.
Yeah. A pelican. And, I'd never be able to conjure up a pelican if I had no frame of reference.
Giant clam? Well, maybe that would be.
Oh, boy. You'd have an easier time. Yeah, okay. And we're back. That was gross.
Megan, that's for you.
Yeah. And your love of vagina talk. This was one of the grossest ones. Fur burger. Do you remember that?
No. What's a fur burger?
Think about it.
Okay, so it's horrible. A pussy covered in fur?
Hair.
Okay, so... or hair.
I'm doing a kid show. I'm hosting a kid show, and I swear to God, I almost made a Merkin joke on the show the other day. I'm so glad I didn't. Have you a Merkin? You've worn a Merkin.
Yeah, I've worn a Merkin. It's different for a lady. You have to put a tampon.
Really?
You don't want to hear this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, we have to wear things called cock socks, which are really uncomfortable. It's a flesh colored, and it's always.
But wait, are you uncomfortable doing it, or do you sort of kind of get off on it?
No, because here's why. Because it's, first of all, it's also very unflattering because it's a tiny piece of material to the point where you think, hey, not to toot my own horn, but I don't think I'm going to fit in that, you know. And then it kind of sucks all your stuff together. It's made of such a material that it kind of like sucks all your stuff together. So it's a very unflattering little ball of junk. Of male junk. If you could be one age for the rest of your life physically, what would it be?
83.
It's funny. You have a lot of things in common with Jesse Eisenberg. He said 85, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because you feel sometimes at heart like an older...
I don't really mean it.
Oh.
It's just that I don't want to be hung up on age because it's like the train's left the station.
And that could be...
And so it's like, well, you
could
fight so much.
It's
but
true.
Then you can't fight.
It's a potentially loaded and depressing question.
Some apple juice.
Okay, good.
Return
like a kid. Almost done. If you could be a non-human animal, what would it be?
I think that everyone goes towards the carnivore, right? Uh-huh. Like a tiger, lion, or eagle, or whatever.
Mighty predators.
But do we value longevity over... Like, do I pick coral?
A clam, giant clam, back to the clam.
Or like it just depends. Like, how interesting is my life
on a
coral reef?
Well, beautiful. I mean, you get
that I get to just live for like 500 years
and just see shit go by. Hey, I said the other day, I said today how fulfilling that was to just watch life go by. I might like that. I might like to be a coral. Or a giant clams live for hundreds of years. That's it. Oh, Beatles or Stones?
Oh. That is cruel. Why would you do that? Do you do this to every guest?
Yeah, they don't usually struggle with it as much as you are. Sorry. And you got to go. All right. Never mind.
Stones, maybe. What if I become friends someday with Paul McCartney and he's resentful because he listens to your podcast?
He probably does. I couldn't help but hear that thing you said about...
Nice.
It's been bothering me the whole time.
So badly.
Okay, let's go.
Ask me like four more questions.
What a great way to end it. No, that's it. I was going to say, how badly do you have to urinate?
What would you pick?
The Beatles. It's easy for me.
Fuck you.
What a great note to end on. And fuck you.
And Jim and Wendy, I love you. I love your son.
Yeah. Okay. You got to go. Pee and watch Mom. Listen to Unqualified.
Hey, everyone. Please listen to Justin Long's Say It Ain't So podcast.
Say It Ain't So. I like that. I also like that you plugged a podcast that presumably people have just heard.
Wow, that really happened.
It sure did.
Uh-oh.
Oops. How many people did we lose?
I mean, the one real problem with it is I just wish you guys had talked about genitals more. It was almost enough, but it never, for me personally, it never quite got there.
Oh, really? You would have. I wonder if it broke some podcasting record. Probably because podcasts haven't been around for that long, so I'm not. I hope that's not air. I'm sure there are podcasts that talk about genitals a lot more. Aren't there like...
I'm sure there are like genital-themed podcasts. There's 650,000 podcasts.
True. That's true. Oh my God, what genital-talking arrogance I just displayed. Yeah, it was pretty... listening to it, it's funny, like being in it, when I was doing it, it felt so natural and easy and fun. I mean, she's just... I hope that part is clear. I mean, that it's favorites.
I wasn't there, so I just listened back and I was like, what the fuck is this? It's like she's just so random and she says things out of the blue. And that's why it's hard to have a linear, sustained linear conversation because she just says the most random shit that that, and you're good at going with the flow.
Well, she was like that when we were hanging out in New Orleans, when we had this little, we talk about our little group called this, we called ourselves the CCs because we would go, I don't think we mentioned this, we consistently go to the same bar called the Cajun Cabin for whatever reason. We go there all the time. And one time, Anna, we both jumped into this jug band where they have, you know, they play like the, what's that?
Washboard.
So, and they were like, oh yeah, come on into our band. So we played in this jug band with the washboards and somebody played the spoons, and they were really into like having other people participate. And then a bunch of bar patrons started participating. Anyway, since then we called ourselves the CCs, and that night or a couple nights later, Anna, out of nowhere, we would just broke out into this British accent like an old queen. And she was like, I declare you the president of the CCs. And she just like playful, like weirdly playful. That's why she would befriend like tweens.
That's a good name for her autobiography, Weirdly Playful.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that about all your bar experience, because listening to it, this specifically felt like I'm at a bar with you guys.
And like you guys like, you know, ate too much Adderall.
Yeah. It was like a very bar conversation. Yeah. You know, kind of random and all over the place, but fun. And yeah, it was really fun.
And like ribald.
I've never known how to say that. I know how to spell it. Yeah. R-I-B-A-L-D. Ribald?
Yeah. Ribald. It's like body.
It is. Ribald.
There must be a better
way. Whoa, I haven't thought of that word in a long time.
Hopefully somebody will write me a shaming letter about it. A Canadian. Christina T will write back. Or Brittany T.
It was very hard, still is hard for me to believe that she didn't have many friends in high school. She talks about that.
I know.
Because it seems like she would be so easy to be friends with. I mean, she very outgoing, the little I know her, but she's also approachable.
But that may be like, you know how, I mean, we talk about this a lot, the memory, how memory is tricky and you create different memories. But you know what, this actually relates to that. We have the, obviously that moment where I cannot remember that story of I did all my faces, which I think is a very important story for Anna. The I did my faces story.
I've heard you tell that story to me before about her. So at least in your memory, it's been cemented as, oh, she did say this.
And in hers, it seems like it was cemented that I had said
weird.
It to her. Yeah,
it's so strange. Weird. I wonder, don't you wish there's a way to get the truth out of
this? Yeah.
I will say she has, in my opinion, a great podcast voice. She's a great voice because I noticed that it's like, it's sort of smoky and sexy, but also kind of cute and accessible and open. It's weird. It's a weird combination of like, it's kind of, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Please don't, especially while you're looking at me. Gross.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I know. Sexy,
it's
but like also
sultry.
Kind of young and
it's
and
like playful, playful, sultry, exactly. Innocent. It's all these like,
yeah, it's a really good voice.
Yes. For all her random like tangents and like improvs out of nowhere, she's also very smart. She's very good at like redirecting and if she does it in like a traditionally interview responsible way, she's able to redirect it back on track.
Well,
here's what you were saying. She did it to me a couple times. She's really very smart.
It's almost like that quote unquote random stuff isn't as random as we think it is.
I think it's more deliberate. I think it's more like this will be entertaining. I think she finds it entertaining, which I do too.
You talked about your cool guy face.
I can't believe I said that.
And here's the worst part is that you, first of all, you do this. You have this sort of like handsome squinty face when you're trying to present your best Luke
in
public.
That's so embarrassing.
But here's the most embarrassing part is that you compare it to James Dean.
I know. I knew you were gonna say.
Which for all you listeners, it does not look like James Dean.
Hold on. I obviously don't think my facial structure is in any way comparable. Here's the only way I meant it is that my friend Max Minghella calls it laser face. Have you heard Max say that? Where they're like, they're squinting and they're so kind of like focused on something, but in like a far off place. They're like looking in the distance. Cool guy.
All really handsome guys.
I mean, all handsome guys have that potential.
But you do the thing where you like can clench your, and I could see you like
get
manipulating your jaw.
So when I say James Dean, it's only like, I'm aspiring. That's the like platonic form.
Yes,
like
it is.
Cool faces.
It is the platonic form.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I can't believe it.
She is so, I was so struck by how honest she is and how candid about things that are even potentially embarrassing.
Honest Ferris.
She's just such an open book, and and I think that fearlessness really creates a fertile podcast environment. You know,
it does, and she does that on the show.
Sometimes too honest. You know, I would say, but it's still, I think it's good to err on the side of too honest than not in a podcast.
I can't do that. I had a hard just talking about sexual stuff. I'm still, I don't know if it's Catholic hangups or I don't want.
Like you getting boners in an easy way when you're 14 years old, I think is funny enough and not gross enough to talk about.
I don't know.
I
don't know. Of course, they're my boners, so I'm more kind of like sensitive to talking about them. It's also a funny word, boner. Can you believe that there was a character on network TV?
I know, boner to bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the word boner is used as like, oh, you made a boop.
That's right.
You made a real boner.
Yeah. Well, that was a boner move.
Or a bonehead is different. You guys talk about the queen getting her asshole bleached. And if you or anyone listening is curious about my opinion about that, I would say, I think Anna is wrong. I don't think the queen gets her asshole bleached because it would be one thing if the queen had to look at her asshole and she'd want everything to be, you know, perfect and sparkling. But why would the queen care about that?
I've thought the same thing. I think sometimes Anna takes a very concrete position on something that she hasn't totally thought through. But then here's what I love about it. She thinks through it. And you can kind of sway it. But we didn't have time to get into the weeds on the queens at bleaching her asshole.
You guys also both deflect compliments in a very similar way. Like you both don't like to take compliments.
I'd rather not hear this.
Not a compliment. I could have done without the improv scenes.
Yeah.
At first it was like, oh, that's weird and random. But then at a certain point, it's like, oh, God.
And I wonder if she's doing this on her show because she doesn't get to play that on Mom. It's like her wanting to do that because that's what she's so, she must miss doing that. Must be a part of her. I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
That's interesting. Of course, you bookended the interview with more genital chat. It started and finished with some genital talk. And
I regret saying one. Do you know which one I regret saying?
Yeah.
Furburger.
Oh, no, not that. There was something else you said that was gross.
Oh, really?
That's
just the one that jumped out to me.
Furburger is gross.
It's gross.
All right, let us read a letter like we do after all these shows.
Let's redirect. Let's pivot. Okay, this is from Allison R. Hello. I've recently started listening to your podcast and absolutely love it. We should cut out the compliment.
Why? Who cares? Okay. It's good to hear that people like it.
Okay, but she loves it. That's not so nice, Allison. Thank you. Your stories are always entertaining. It's from Allison. Even when you were plugging your ads. Anyway, I'm emailing you guys to tell you a story of my senior year of high school. I graduated high school in 2006. During that year, I was waiting for any acceptance letter to any of the colleges in which I had applied. Well, I had not gotten any acceptance letters yet. I had a few rejections, so I was getting a little discouraged. One day, I received a phone call from my dad, who was ecstatic. I had received an acceptance envelope from the South Harmon Institute of Technology. I told him I didn't apply there. I've never even heard of that school. I came home and had to break it to him that this was advertising for a new Justin Long movie. That sucks. Yeah. Oh, my God. This memory always makes me look back and laugh. I ended up going to Indiana University, so all was not lost. Anyway, whoever did your marketing for that movie did a great job. Well, thank you. But I would argue that's maybe not, but maybe like too great a job. Like that's really funny. Her poor dad he was ecstatic, and it was like, he must hate me. He must be like, what?
He must hate you. Yeah.
What a shitty fake out. South Harmon Institute of Technology. There are a lot of people still come up to me. They'll say, I'm a shithead. Because that was the acronym. You know, what's funny about that is...
I knew you were going to say this.
You were waiting.
You got like a twinkle in your eye.
So Christian was actually in that movie. And the South Harmon Institute of Technology, for those of you who haven't seen it, I create this fake school. I played this kid who didn't get into college. And the acronym, the letters were... It's SHIT, South Harmon. It's ha-ha. So shit. So, and we were, and the people who went to that school were called shitheads. And our mascot was a shit sandwich. Christian's just waiting. He's just, I wish.
Guess who got their hands on that roll?
So Christian was playing, he was all set. He inked a deal to play the shit sandwich. So one day, he was in, I walked into the makeup, the hair and makeup trailer, and it was so fun. It was so funny to see, and I see him and getting his makeup done, and they're just painting his face brown, which I didn't occur to me at the time how kind of problematic that is.
Yeah.
But not for the reasons that it's, but he was getting it painted brown so that he could be in this shit sandwich,
this big,
big foam.
Like foam sandwich. And I, all I had to do in the movie, I had to walk by Justin's character and say hi to him. And that's it.
I remember, hi B. I played a guy named Bartleby. They called me B. And I remember being an involved shot for that, especially for that size of a movie. It was like a steady cam, which means like a guy had to carry this big heavy camera. That's when cameras were heavier back then. And he had to walk. He was following me walking into this campus that we had set up, this like school that we had set up. So it was, they called it steady cam tracking shot. So they were following me and it was kind of involved. And Christian was like a moving piece of that where he'd have to like hit a mark and go. But the point is we had to do it a lot and it was outside.
Oh my God, I forgot. Remember it was that? So were, hot.
And Christian is, I don't know if we've talked about this.
Yeah, Christian sweats a lot. Like everyone knows, ha ha. But also Christian was wearing a big foam shit sandwich. And it was like the middle of August.
And his brown face makeup was sweating off.
And there was like, there were two people with like little fans who kept following me around and like two PAs who kept following
not fans,
me.
Not like aficionados. No.
not fanatics.
Yeah, they were, which is so embarrassing. I hate, that happened to me the other day where like, you know, if you're shooting something outside, you know, you have to stay. You can't be your makeup.
And it's their job to touch you up.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
feel terrible.
Terrible. They're holding a fan.
So it was a pretty brutal day. But once every 4 months, I get like a $26 residual check for that movie. Oh, so, haha. Yeah. Who got the last laugh?
We got to find a picture of that. It's so funny.
But that was.
Anyway, so thank you, Allison thanks, R. And yes. I'm sorry to Mr. R. Well, anyway.
That was the show. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
If you like us, go on the internet and give us a 5-star rating.
Even if you think it should be a 4-star rating, just give it 5.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Even if you think it should be 3.
It's free.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by former Shit Sandwich, Christian Long, and Megan Monaco. Our senior producer is Michelle Mish Lands. And our
audio engineer
is Marcelino Villpando.
What a great name.
Executive produced by Marshall Louis, also fun to say, and Hernan Lopez.
Really fun to say.
Yeah, for Wondery.
I forgot about these chessmen. That when I was a kid, I used to think this too. It was very difficult for me to not eat an entire bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could keep.
You like them that much?
Yeah, and like when I there was a time I think when I first was able to like buy my own things. You know, like in high school when you can start like like fuck, I can have my own Girl Scout cookie, like a whole box of them, and just like pay for it because I made money at the cup, whatever. I remember like buying bags of these.
Really?
Yeah. And just being like, holy shit, I can do this.
I love them that much.
They're difficult. Like,
they're delicious. I mean, I get it. But
when really that flavor never.
They're just like butter cookies.
I know.
You love butter cookies.
I like butter cookies. I've never. These are. I don't know what makes them different.
And these have that sweet outer layer.
Oh, man. I used to eat around the design. I these
really?
Yeah.
That must be difficult to do.
Yeah, but it's part of the fun. I would eat this because the side has glaze too, the whole rim.
Oh, that's right. Oh, well, you really know your.
Oh yeah.
You're like a expert.
Yeah, I'm like the Garry Kasparov of.
That's a funny
chessman cookies.
That's a funny line. Yeah. Like, I'm an expert in chessmen. It's like, oh, you're a chess.
Yeah.
Chess master.
Yeah.
No, chessmen cookies.
Oh, you mean like people who play chess? No. The cook, you know Pepperidge Farm? They're so fucking good. I could do a commercial for these. If you just fed me some of them, would that be a good commercial? Just feeding somebody the actual product and watching them react? Like a natural reaction. Just like, you can't do too many takes. Just give them something really great and like just react the way you would react naturally. I guess it's
natural acting.
Yeah.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.